Today's show is sponsored by Miracle Made. And oh my God, you guys, you know that I love a luxurious set of sheets. And I now have such a set of sheets because of a Miracle Made. They are bedding that has been inspired by NASA. They've got silver-infused fabrics that actually make temperature regulating a thing. So you're not like getting too hot or too cold or whatever, you know, the whole thing that happens with your body's temperature losing its mind. Miracle Made helps with that. One of the little things that my husband particularly loves about Miracle Made is that it like doesn't have as much bacteria as regular sheets because of it's infused with this silver that prevents up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. So it leaves the sheets cleaner for longer. And then the thing for my husband is that it doesn't give him acne, which is like an issue for some people. But more than all of that, it's just luxuriously comfortable and delightful. And it has that cooling feeling while also being cozy. Very hard to achieve those two things at the same time. I mean, Miracle Made, come on, well done. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and buy some sheets today. And if you order today, you can save 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION at the checkout and you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. So there's just a lot of savings here, folks. Order today, you'll get 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION. Go to trymiracle.com/FAKETHENATION. And Miracle's so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not 100% satisfied, which I don't see happening, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and use the code FAKETHENATION to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Fake the Nation, episode 160.
Can there be a live Google podcast?
Yeah, why not?
Where people just try and remember
who
some
is that
shit?
Guy?
And you cannot look it up.
Yes, you cannot.
And the show does not move on
guys,
until you find out.
Did we just create a new podcast?
That's literally, yeah, it's like, hey guys, if you ever want to know what it was like growing up, like
no,
in the 80s.
No, like this. When, like
you had to be like, it's that guy in that show. It wasn't Chip.
Here's the podcast. Harry, are you fucking listening to this genius? Here's the podcast. The podcast is, it's like we come, there's like history moments.
Right.
Movies. Stuff like that. So it'll be like, what was the plot of Terminator?
Right.
And who was in it? All
right.
of that. And what year was it? Right. All of that. And we just try and remember it.
Yep.
Just try and piece it together.
And just try and piece it together.
Man,
I think that's really funny. 1984,
Michael Biehn.
Useless. Unless the podcast was like, really. Recreate verbatim My Cousin Vinny, I would have no chance.
The most specific
that's
podcast
right. Just every
recreation.
Week, I recite My Cousin Vinny from memory.
That's the one.
We just pick a time. Be like, yeah. You know, 4.5 minutes, like
that's
the 4:30 mark.
Just go.
And then you have to go from that mark.
My guest today is Barack Obama. He's going to say and do nothing. I'm going to sit here and recite My Cousin Vinny at him.
That's right. My biological clock is ticking like this.
Okay, Barack, you know what comes next? No? Great. We'll see you next week.
He's just there like, geez, Utes.
No,
sorry,
Utes.
Barack.
Meanwhile, my knowledge of My Cousin Vinny would have been like, okay, there was an eviction? Was there an eviction?
An eviction?
A tenancy? Was there a tenancy dispute?
No,
what are you talking about?
Thinking,
was there a tenancy
dispute?
No,
you're thinking of the movie that came after that.
Which was My Tenancy Dispute.
My Tenants, whatever. No, it's still Joe Pesci. He did like a thing after where he's like a landlord.
What?
But it wasn't my cousin Vinny.
So was My Cousin Vinny, okay, but literally had nothing to do with real estate.
No.
Got you.
No, real estate,
if I would have fucking killed a rabbit,
no.
Like, on
Joe
to
Pesci's,
say that it was about tenancy.
Joe Pesci's,
it has something to do with
it's like
real
Joe
estate.
Pesci's cousin, Ralph
yeah.
Macchio,
that's right.
Is wrongfully accused of a murder and a robbery, right? And they have, because they had a similar car.
Yeah.
And it all hinges on, like,
right.
so Ralph Macchio and his
Ralph
buddy,
wasn't,
yeah.
like, looking for a rental at any point.
Yeah, no,
no, there's
no
rentals.
Can we just
Can I lease
really
this commercial
just make
space?
Sure?
Yeah, on his perp walk, they let him pick out two apartments.
The question is, was the Joe Pesci movie after that, was that called, like, The Super or something?
That sounds right. Yeah. That feels like the name of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys. It's like him and, like, a wife.
I don't know, but that's definitely the name of a
movie.
That's
what I'm remembering. The Super.
Guys, how has this show not been sold already? This is gold.
Harry, who are we talking to in there?
I feel like you're just sitting there is what I feel like is happening.
Who do you call? Is there a Steve Earwolf in there somewhere?
Steven Earwolf.
The show could be called What Is Nagin Actually Thinking Of? It's like, was there a renter? No, you're thinking of a different Joe
you're
Pesci
movie. You're thinking of the movie The Hours, starring Nicole Kidman. 2-1.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about politics, and where we look up Google images of feral hogs because the Lord of Internet Memes told us to. You guys know what I'm talking about, the feral hogs thing.
I was off Twitter for like 10 hours and came back and it was all feral hogs.
Feral hogs.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I have to Google
and the
that.
Weird thing is, they don't look like different to me from other hogs, I guess, you know?
That's kind of the whole thing.
That's the whole thing.
You know what I mean?
Feral
like the dangerous
hogs.
People look the same as the right. As
I know,
the other
they
ones.
Walk
I
among
think,
us.
Yeah. Well, it's like a Muslim Jew thing for us, though. It's just like they're all just pork.
Right,
it's
all not kosher. Pork. I see bacon that I eat despite the religion.
This bacon's great.
Okay, you guys.
This show's going to be a mess.
We have started off on a feral hog note, and we shall continue thusly. I am your host, Nagin Farsad. Can I just say to the people of Fake the Nation, thank you so much for like emailing me and posting and DMing me about the with your suggestions of post-apocalyptic novels that I like to do as my summer reading.
The Road, and, I've heard that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the Road, I have already discredited because it's too dark. So, like, less dark post-apocalyptic novels.
Oh, so you're talking, these are real novels. It
was a segment from last week. I know that you listen to the show every week, so you know exactly
course, course,
what I'm talking
course,
about.
Of course.
I did my homework.
No, but now that everyone has so many great suggestions for novels, I also want you to hit me up with suggestions for movies because I like movies like Children of Men, a fucking classic of post-apocalyptic.
Have you seen here's a
dystopian future?
Have you seen My Cousin Vinny?
Get the
it's
fuck out of
really
my studio.
Good.
Really post-apocalyptic.
Guys, that was a pre-recording conversation that you may or may not hear bits of in the cold open. Who knows? You guys, let's get started here. Because this week we're going to talk about an actual current dystopian present that we're living in the shape of mass shootings and white supremacy. We're also going to talk about artificial wombs. What? I know.
What?
It's so weird. I've got two dudes to really bring it home on artificial wombs.
Experts.
And finally, the streaming wars. Who was going to win? Who was going to be watching? What the F? All right. I am joined. Oh, my God. The panel today, you guys. It's like old school veterans of Fake the Nation. Also included among them an actual veteran of the United States Armed Forces. You know him, you love him. He's a writer, a producer, a comedian. He's written for like a gajillion shows. He's like developing another one right now. He's just the fanciest motherfucker. See him perform live because it's so fucking fun. The prodigal son of Fake the Nation. How long will this introduction go on? Just until this moment when I say Benari Lee Poulton, you guys.
Hey. It's so great to be introduced by you.
Also returning to the show. You know him, you love him. He does stand up. You can see him on August 24th doing a show called The Exhibition here in New York City. I think you should all definitely and immediately buy your tickets to see this man live. You can also see him on an episode of High Maintenance with me.
You betcha.
And another Fake the Nation veteran, Joe Firestone. It was like three Fake the Nationers in one show.
Yeah,
oh my God.
The whole episode is just about
it's
Fake the Nation.
Just about it's
well, I think is Earwolf getting where? Those residuals?
You guys, it's Michael Cruz Kane.
Oh, thank you so much.
So happy to have you both on the show.
A joy.
Let's
So this
stop
episode
the
is
joy.
Just this is just intros. This episode is just intros, right?
Let me just talk for another 20 minutes about what Benari has done in his life.
Because it's like we don't want to get to this topic.
We don't want to get to this topic at all because it sucks, and let's do it with topic number one.
Wow, what a segue.
as everybody knows by now, last weekend there was not one but two mass shootings, one in El Paso that took the lives of 22 people and another in Dayton that took the lives of 9 people. I guess let's just start with, like, what were your first thoughts as you heard about these shootings?
Well, I mean, my first thought was, I guess it's another one. Like, this is part of being an American now. It's like, that's a thing that we have. You know what I mean? Like, there's some places where it's like, oh, you don't want to go there because that's where they have really bad seafood. But here, what we have is mass shootings. I think I saw someplace, maybe the government of Uruguay or someplace, had put for like a travel advisory for people traveling to the United States, just be like, just so you know, when you go, that's a place where people just indiscriminately get shot and you really can't prepare for it. So be aware of that. So it is like a very sad, obviously, state of affairs where it's just a fact of American life and it's faded. I mean, the outrage is massive, but it's nothing like it was for, you know, Sandy Hook or whatever. It just, you can see the diminishing returns on the outrage. And it makes me very anxious.
It's also wearisome. Like I remember, like, I saw that one and my first thought was like, wait, am I reading something that just happened? Because there was a mass shooting 3 days earlier in like California.
Yeah. And like, I was in like, Poway, wait.
Yeah.
Right?
And I was like, is this new information about that? And then while that one was happening, then Dayton happens. And then it's nonstop. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse because people, because there's no repercussions. And when there's no repercussions for it, people are emboldened and they'll just say, well, I guess we can just do this. And especially if you're like on a suicide tear, you have a nihilistic intent, what does it matter?
Yeah.
Because like, you're like, well, that's the end game for me. And nothing will happen, and then that inspires the next crew, and then it just, I mean,
certainly there are repercussions, you know, in terms of like criminality. But what do you mean there are no?
Well, some of them, I mean, like a lot of them, yeah, for criminality. But like that's for most of these people, like their intent is to
kill themselves,
is to go out in a blaze of glory and be canonized,
yeah, it's legacy,
by these white supremacist groups where they, you know, in much the same way as, you know, we talk about ISIS or we talk about Al-Qaeda, it's the same sort of thing, that the deterrent, it's not your normal kind of deterrent. You have to do something about the gun laws or they're going to be able to continue just getting the guns, because their actual intent is to cause fear in the population and spread terror. And then these shootings become these memorialized events to these white supremacist groups.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think when you talk about no repercussions, I'm not sure if this is what you mean, but at least the way I think of that is there's no repercussions for anybody but the shooter. Right. The shooter's going to get dead or at least be apprehended or whatever. You know, like that person's life as a free citizen is over. But if you're some company that manufactures weapons that are used in these types of attacks.
Yeah, there are no repercussions.
In fact, what's more likely to happen for you is an increase in gun sales.
Correct.
Because some, you know, Tucker Carlson goes on the air and it's like, well, they're going to take these guns away from you. And there's a bum rush to the store to get all of these guns. So it's, I mean, business is good. Every time one of these mass shootings happens, that's good business for gun makers.
Which is why we need an immediate repeal of PLACA, like the Protection and Liability, Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, which was passed in 2005, which prevents us suing the gun industry in compliance like we did the tobacco industry. It was passed in the wake of all the successful tobacco lawsuits. And now, like, all these lawsuits have stopped, so gun manufacturers can target also communities that they know will buy more guns in the wake of these things, and they can actually sell and advertise to them, and they can flood the markets. So, like, if a state passes a stricter gun law, the next state over, the gun manufacturers just go in and flood that state next door with like more guns, because like, look what happened next door; they're going to take your guns away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if there was a financial responsibility on the part of gun manufacturers and gun sellers, they would start self-regulating at least and make sure that the people they sell to don't have this history of violence or don't have, you know, hey, if I sell you this, I might be financially responsible. So I'm going to try and make sure that you're not going to use
this. There's no liability.
Right.
Right. So then, and that would kind of create, theoretically, a self-policing environment for those companies that sell guns. Like, we might not have universal background checks, but they would be then compelled to have background checks as sellers. And, you know, my... And we'll talk about some of the policy measures that might be coming out of this in a minute. But my immediate thought was, after El Paso, my immediate thought was, we're not going to be talking about this on Tuesday. Like, because the other mass shooting, which mm-hmm. I think is Poway, the one that came before, got very little attention mm-hmm. at the end of the day. And, like, in general, the shootings are getting less and less attention because
they're so frequent.
Well,
it's hard to keep track. It's hard, like, to
exactly. And I can't remember if it was Poway because there were so many. But
it's truly like if your birthday was every day, you just stop having the parties, and that's like what's happening every day. It's one of these mass shootings, right?
Right.
So it's like how you can't manifest that outrage
right.
in a political climate where you feel constantly assailed by
bombarded.
Outrage.
And I think I think there's a couple of reasons why this story has lived. Thankfully, mm-hmm. until Thursday, there were two of them, which is disgusting. Mm-hmm. That we need two now, two in a row,
right.
to give a shit. And that there was a manifesto, and that white supremacy was invoked. So let's actually,
and in both of them. It seemed to be a link, even though they're trying to say, like, well, this one's a little more unclear.
Unclear, yeah. The Dayton one seems to be.
But it's
more.
Like, yeah, no, you're quoting the president. You're
yeah.
quoting these white supremacist manifestos.
Wasn't the Dayton one the one who had, like, retweeted Elizabeth Warren or something? Because I feel like maybe I'm thinking of, truly, this is, like, what happens now. Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong shooter, but Fox News and, like, that
yes,
wing.
No, they pushed out a thing, but a lot of the stuff that was put out was, like, retweeting, like, anger. You know, it's like anger and
hate tweeting. But, yeah, right. But be that as it may, what I'm saying is, isn't it true that some right-wing outlets are portraying that as if this guy is a leftist?
I think they're trying to, but I don't think that that was. Okay. I think that that was, again, but this is where, like, disinformation really comes into play. It's really hard to know, like, what is factual and what is people trying to spin a minor point in something of, like, oh,
right.
this
I
guy,
think,
yeah.
My impression of the Dayton shooter, and somebody at home can be Googling this
sure.
live while it's happening, but that person, their Twitter account was taken down. But prior to that, somebody's got screen grabs of that person quote tweeting, or I guess we don't have quote tweeting really anymore, but retweeting Elizabeth Warren or like some left people, and Fox News trying to be like, this was a leftist. Nobody talks about that. And I think to me, the difference is, like, even if that person is a leftist, right, or is progressive or whatever, it's not because of that ideology that they are enacting violence. You know what I mean?
I think in either case, the great argument for gun control is that it doesn't even matter which side.
Yes.
Because
I agree.
It's the access, right?
Right.
It's like, it's not just white supremacy that'll drive you to buy guns. It's any form of radical, you know.
The Republican congressmen who got
but the funny thing is,
Steve Scalise.
Right.
And they were trying, at that point, Fox News was big on the bandwagon of, like, see, the leftists are inciting violence.
Right.
And again, it's, well, we have a problem because when you get people angry and they don't feel like they have anywhere else to go and they're at a last resort, then they have easy access to guns and this is a quick fix now.
Yeah. And I think that's what you're saying, Nagin, is exactly right. It's not ideology that is, I mean, ideology is its own problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's we're going to talk about. I don't want to pretend like
right.
that's not a fucking big
but
issue.
But when that gets compounded with access to guns, it's obviously a much bigger problem, right? Like a Taylor Swift fan, no problem. A Taylor Swift fan with a gun, you're like, something is scarier.
Right.
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 Especially,
you just add with a gun to anything and you're like, well, actually, this is now terrifying.
But if those Taylor Swift fans are being constantly bombarded with, like, hatred of, like, you know what, Britney Spears just won't let go, and she won't give it up for Taylor Swift. She won't give Taylor Swift her props. She's got to go. Her time is done. And Taylor Swift fans started taking the
I don't
the
think
streets.
It's Britney Spears versus Taylor. They're in completely different classes of pop star.
I'm just trying to say of the most absurd kind of...
I think what you meant to say, Benari, just so that the audience doesn't fucking turn off this podcast, is Taylor Swift versus
Katy Perry. Yeah.
So anyways, then now your analogy...
You know what? I stand
corrected. Before, it was just an absurd thing to say.
You're right. There's no connection there, whereas there's a clear connection with the Katy Perry.
Also, what's going to happen after this podcast is the three of us are going to be bombarded with hate tweets from Taylor Swift fans.
Look, Taylor Swift fans are fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. But they're huge fans of this show.
But if they were being radicalized, if they're being radicalized and told like the only way to like, you know, pay tribute to Taylor is by taking out any competition, like that would be a problem.
No, exactly. And radicalization of any form in any genre of anything is a problem.
And we know hate crimes have spiked in the last 3 years. I mean, that's a verifiable fact. And that like 70% of these violent crimes committed are because of white supremacy. The FBI director, Chris Wray, said that like 2 weeks ago or a week and a half. I don't even know how long ago, but it was before the mass shootings. And so if we know that we can identify something and we know that like, okay, these mass shootings are out of control, I don't know what the actual right answer is, but we attack every other problem with a, you know, a sort of like, okay, we got to just first see if we can stop this from getting out of control.
Yeah.
And then we'll figure out the details.
Yeah. I mean, the guns are a supercharger for hatred, right? You can hate whoever you want, right? I whoever's listening to this, I give you that, right? Hate whoever you want, whomever. But having a gun makes that hate a physical danger to people, right? It's like, it's no longer a philosophical question.
The interesting thing, too, is it's not like we're seeing, you know, this isn't about and the idea that like mental health policy is going to do anything. It seems ridiculous to me because this isn't about an epidemic of people murdering people in general. It's not like we're seeing mass poisonings. We're not seeing mass knifings, right? We're seeing mass shootings, right? So it really is about access to this one thing that makes it. Obviously, there's mental health issues. I'm not trying to diminish that.
Right.
But like, you know, I think that's something that I think it is. I just don't understand what they don't see in this.
I think
issue.
It's like that sort of that cliche of you're never going to see it if you're paid not to. You know what I mean? It's not that they don't see it. It's not like see it.
By the way, I just want to point out, just to add some fuel to Benari's claims where he was trying to use facts.
Britney Spears does exist.
Britney Spears exists. That's fact. But 56% of the extremist murders committed in the United States over the past decade were carried out by people espousing white supremacist ideology. That's according to ADL research. And the white supremacist ideology, we're talking about like the Great Replacement. Immigrants are beating us and replacing, and you know, you guys remember the chants from Charlotte.
Jews will not replace
Charlottesville. Jews will not replace us, and all that stuff. Let's talk a little bit about what might actually happen politically. And first before we do that, guys, I'm a mess. Okay, here's what we're gonna do.
Okay.
All right, here
Can't
it is,
wait.
Guys. Hold on. Here it is, you guys. So Donnie came out with a, I'm not gonna say full-throated.
It was throated
critique, but
it was throated.
Audible, right?
Yeah.
Of white supremacy. Now, he was still criticized afterwards because it wasn't full throated. What do we do? I mean, we're in a climate where it kind of like, do you even like, let's say he really does have a complete turnaround on this. We're in a climate where no one would even believe him. Well, so what do we do?
It would be helpful if he did, because the numbers that you mentioned there. Part of the reason it's like at 56% over the last decade is because in the last 3 years
they have
spiked exponentially. And if you also see the effect he has, if you watch any of those rallies, if you watch 5 minutes of those rallies and you know history, and like as a Jew, I don't like big rallies in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But when I hear chants of send her back or lock her up, or when people are shouting out from the crowd, shoot them, you know, I don't take those as jokes. Mob mentality is real.
Yeah.
And if someone harnesses that for ratings or for entertainment purposes or whatever, it's dangerous. So if he were to do a turnaround and change the rhetoric and say, you know what, it's gotten out of hand. This was a lot of fun, but we gotta.
We had a blast.
Good times. But you know what, guys? Let's watch some like reruns of Police Academy or something like that. I'd be fine if sales and Police Academy spiked and gun violence went down, and I would be like, you know what? Fine, great, good. Whatever addresses the actual problem. You know, yeah. I'm in favor of. I don't want to just pin it all on him, but they also have to take responsibility that like his rhetoric and how he incites people at his rallies is not helpful.
Yeah, I think you were saying, you know, that we've reached this point where we wouldn't believe him, even if he turned around tomorrow and was like, if he tweeted today verbatim, "I denounce white supremacy," it would mean nothing to me. Because you need to see action.
Right.
There has to be something. You have to do something
right.
That shows me that. So, like, show me the plan that you're going to put in place to combat the ideologies that are festering across the country.
So do you guys think, so they're talking about red flag laws on Lindsey Graham is really championing these. What are red flag laws and what do you guys think of them? I mean,
some of them are. So for one example, all of these shooters, regardless of ideology, have a history of violence,
mm-hmm.
Either domestic abuse, beating their girlfriends, getting into or getting in, you know, violent acts with the police officers or authority. But a history of violence is a pretty good indicator that they're on a bad path, and things like that. So, like, if you have a history of spousal abuse or any kind of violence, that should be a red flag if you're trying to buy a gun. That would be an example of like one of the red flag laws that's out there. But obviously, that has to be used. You know, I don't think there's like one approach,
right?
But I do think that this idea of, and I hate to invoke broken windows, but I do think this idea of like, if we start with the smallest indicators that are across the board with mass shooters, like a history of violence, like when they suddenly you buy a whole lot of guns at once, and it's like, hey, this is your third gun purchase in 2 days. Maybe
also
something,
you're covered in blood.
Yeah, you're covered. Something is up. Like things like that should probably right now, for the time being, maybe be on the book so they can say, you know what, you're going to have to wait maybe 10 days before you buy your seventh gun.
Yeah, I think there ought to be. Well, the right is not unfettered to own guns, right?
That's
supposed to, like, well-regulated
in militia.
There. And I think it's perfectly fair to go, well, one regulation will be people who have been using their fists to beat the shit out of people who don't deserve it should not then be given guns, right?
Right.
That seems like a totally
super
fair
reasonable
to infringe.
And what's interesting is that the Republicans are maybe going to back this, right?
Right.
There's a universal background check that has been passed by the House, democratically led House, but that Mitch McConnell has not brought up for a vote.
Right.
And what's strange to me is that in the red flag laws, like you can literally take away someone's gun. This is how it works in some states. You take away this person's guns, which is the thing that Republicans hate is like come to your house, take away guns. But universal background checks is just a preemptive measure. So I'm just surprised they don't like that.
The thing that makes me wary about Republican support of it is they could put in there a red flag would be you're Muslim.
Oh, yeah.
Or a red flag is you went to a Democratic convention.
Would have to be – whatever that is would have to be passed by.
Yes, but again, like look at the language of what Ted Cruz put forward in his Antifa – they wanted to put Antifa on the books
the
as being
–
a watch list as being a terrorist organization. Well, there is no actual way to define – like no one has a membership card. I'm like – and also Antifa is anti-fascist.
Right.
So any activity that could be considered Antifa is very – broadly interpreted.
Yeah, as right.
So Antifa could be a tweet where you say, hey, Ted Cruz, you're a fascist. You could be labeled under his legislation as Antifa, and now you're part of a terrorist organization. So we do have to, I think, in crafting these laws, we can't just do the Patriot Act thing of like, we'll figure it out later. These have to be very specific. These have to be carefully read. And we need to be aware and have a little bit of that.
Well,
like,
I think the way that Lindsey Graham has crafted his bill is that it's a grant to states to then figure it out at a state level. also it's also another kind of patchwork mm-hmm. of laws as opposed to like a real law.
Right, because New York's going to do it a bit different than Texas is going to do it.
Exactly. And I so it's like, right. And then so everybody knows, Chuck Schumer is like, guys, anything about red flags has to come with it universal background checks. So we're not just going to let you guys pass some stupid law just to make you feel better about having done something and then act like, you know, we did a thing. Look, right. We care. Okay, you guys. Well, maybe the next topics will just be like a little easier to swallow. We will keep you abreast of violence in our lives. Okay. And then why don't we do this? Why don't we take a quick break and listen to a word from our sponsors read by me in my voice. So the word will actually be coming out of my mouth hole.
You become a vessel for the sponsors.
I will become a vessel for the sponsors. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about other vessels for wombs.
What a segue.
Today's show is sponsored by Prose. This is kind of, I feel like, you know, I'm on some sort of Lord of the Rings journey trying to figure out skincare. And I feel like this customized skincare line is really got my name on it. Basically, every bottle of Prose custom hair care and skincare, I tried the skincare just recently, is made to order and it's personalized. It's got a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs, like specifically you. And then the way they do it is you take this great, like in-depth quiz, basically. They analyze over 80 factors for a complete view of your life, your beauty goals. Like I have oily skin that's also dry, which is just a fun little conundrum. I live in New York City. Like we've got these four seasons. My face gets weird during seasonal shifts. All of these things I got to kind of talk about in answering the questions. The other fun thing was they asked us at the end, like, do you like a creamy type of moisturizer or like a less creamy kind? And I was kind of like, I think like less creamy. And they were like, that's fine. Like you can do that. But we think for your skin type, creamier is better. And I never knew that. So I love that there's so much kind of personal information that goes into creating this. I got my stuff in the mail very quickly after. I got a wonderful serum. Like I said, this very creamy moisturizer. And this also very just delectably creamy cleanser that just kind of feel like I think it's possible that I've been washing my face with just like harshness. Like many years, because when I saw this cleanser, I was like, oh, is this what it's supposed to feel like? It's supposed to feel like a little bit of a delight on my face. That's not what I've been doing. So I don't know, guys. And here's the thing. You don't have to take my word for it. In a third party, double blind, dermatologist supervised controlled clinical study, which is like the gold standard for research studies, Prose prove that personalization works better than off the shelf alternatives, which just sort of totally makes sense on a just logical level. If you think about it, just it makes common sense. Prose is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% of your first subscription order at prose.com/fakethenation will be taken off. That's Prose.com/fakethenation. You get your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. Again, that's prose.com/fakethenation. Go and get your just super personalized, luxurious skincare products and hair care products. That's what I'm going to try next. So prose.com/fakethenation.
I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app. And I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until, that is, I discovered Rocket Money. And because I used Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry. Thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you. So you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a like a roundabout 8 exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing losing that money? I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Folks, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I tried other services that I was displeased with. And then a neighbor of mine was trying Factor. I had pulled them aside in the hallway and I was like, what are you feeling about this Factor? And they were like, it is delicious. You should definitely do it. So then me and my husband did it and we loved it. They are chef-prepared meals that arrive to your door, and then in 2 minutes, you could be eating them. Like, it's so simple, and they're actually delicious. And for people like me who just sometimes, my schedule can be so maniacal between traveling in different cities and, you know, doing stand-up gigs. It's like I just don't have a typical schedule where I can plan, set aside time for cooking and all that stuff. So something like Factor really helps for me. The other thing that I love to do is try not to eat carbs. So they have a keto option, which is fantastic. It's super delicious. They use premium ingredients. You can get stuff with like filet mignon and shrimp and truffle butter and broccolini and asparagus, right? Like real ingredients. They're no fuss, no mess meals. They eliminate the hassle of having to prep. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility. You can pause or reschedule. I've actually done that. I've both paused and rescheduled. Factor is basically your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, and look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head to factormeals.com/fakethenation50 and use the code fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code fakethenation50 at factormeals.com/fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. All right, here we go. And we're back with topic number two. Okay, you guys, there's a new technology on the horizon. It's called ectogenesis. And it's basically where instead of fetus growing in the womb, you put the fetus in a bio bag until it comes to term. You know, like a bio bag that you would keep next to your hamper, except for dirty clothes. It's got a fucking pending baby. Yeah.
Pending.
And
what?
And
what are you doing, people?
They're already doing this with like sheep. So, you guys, what? Just yeah. quick, just thoughts. I just had a baby. What are your thoughts on ectogenesis?
Dude, I love it. I'm very into it. Well, just like when you had a baby, wasn't it so
yeah,
hard?
Yeah, it was the worst. Yeah.
So like my...
This
like,
does sound easier.
My kids were born via C-section. I mean, like that's just... How are we still doing that? It's the year a billion already. Let's put the babies in the bags. And then you just unzip it and roll your baby out. That's incredible. That's the... There's literally the best. There's no argument against it. I refuse to hear it.
Yeah, look, the ease at which you can pop a baby out of a bag, no argument there.
I mean, it's like Amazon same-day delivery. Like,
absolutely.
It's basically yes. what it is.
My problem is...
This is going to be wrong, whatever
okay,
it is.
Here we go.
I read and watch a lot of sci-fi.
Okay. It does seem Matrix-y to just hook
and
this thing up.
I have never read a sci-fi novel that begins with babies in bags.
And ends really fun. Ends with world harmony.
There's no like, and then we solved everything and everyone lived peacefully. There's usually an uprising.
Right. Well,
there's some sort of like enslavement that goes
right,
with
no,
it.
Right, no, it's an enslavement. I feel like oftentimes baby in a bag means they're growing.
They're growing people for bad, nefarious purposes.
No, they're growing the version of you in an alternate world for when you break a knee or whatever.
Sure. But that's for
and
rich
then
people.
They just unplug you and put the new
they
one.
They unplug
right.
that baby or whatever, and then they put their knee on your knee or whatever.
Right.
Okay, yeah, the dystopian
yeah.
stuff is
yeah,
kind of bad.
Yeah, it's just...
Because so, okay.
I just... Can we just proceed with caution
okay,
with
I wanna,
babies in a bag?
I want to say, as a lady who had a real bag in my body...
Yeah, right now, you are the bag.
You are the bag.
As a bag, can I say, as an Iranian-American Muslim bag, can I say, okay, I for a second was just like, of course we figured out a fucking way for babies to be in a bag instead of babies to be in dudes, which made me really fucking angry because I was like, how are we bypassing the whole process in which a baby grows in a goddamn dude?
And then what, like comes out his butt?
And then comes out of his butt. Yes, the way God actually intended and he just messed up at the last minute.
Yeah. He just messed
up. Or if you really want to go... Like, you know, natural birth, it's going to come out of your dick hole.
Yeah, sure. Very small babies.
Yes! Dick hole C-sections. That's what I want to see.
I like the idea of God messing it up and being like, I mean, I'm on a deadline. Let's just put them out there. Let's just throw the humans out.
What I like is that God's first choice was bags. But then it was like burlap. He had only figured out burlap sacks at that point.
So
like
much
he
leakage.
Didn't have. And it was like leaves and shit.
They
he
hadn't
just
invented
couldn't figure
Ziplocs
it.
Yet.
No. Yeah. That was the whole thing with God. You guys.
That was Adam's sole purpose. He's like, look, I don't need dudes except for they need to invent Ziploc bags.
Yeah, and then you're
and then
either,
obsolete.
Either a woman or a Ziploc bag will do in this Garden of Eden. You guys, okay, but so ectogenesis is real. Now, let me talk about, I know that none of what we said is useful. But let me tell you one thing, though, that is actually useful, because this is real. It doesn't sound real. It could revolutionize premature birth, which is the leading cause of death among children under the age of 5. There we go.
So what do you think about that, buddy?
Ding, ding, ding for Michael.
Well, I think, not to be... This is. There's no way I can sound good.
I can't wait for this.
Say it.
I'm just saying. Look. I think that is terrific.
What is this fucking guy gonna say?
That you're gonna reduce
death from premature birth.
Uh huh. Big butt coming here.
Oh God.
But there's just a part of me. It just feels like, okay, and then now we're and then we just cut out people from the whole
cloning.
And then we're cloning, now we're doing, you know, again, there's like such a fine line between eugenics and cloning and all
of
this
stuff. And then everyone's like, oh, I brought back Uncle Harold. And you're like, that guy so fucking like, sucked. What are you doing? They're like, ectogenesis bags, you guys.
I believe
I got an e-bag.
I believe in science. And I believe that mad science has a very important place in the scientific process.
Uh-huh. Right.
But I do think that there's also like, oh, okay, that's the point. We've gone too far. Now bring it back to just the good portion we can take away from that. And
I understand what you're saying. I do think that there's like clearly medically benefits to being able to, like, if you can have a healthy pregnancy, so to speak, that happens entirely outside of a human body, that's amazing, right? Because the difficulty of pregnancy, like, and also, like, talk about even maternity too.
The burden on the female body is tremendous.
And you think about the social ramifications of something like, oh, you don't have to miss work because of this. Like, that's also, you talk about wage gap stuff. There's so, like, this ripples throughout.
There is a notion here that it frees the female body because there is. Yeah, there's a notion here that it frees the female bodies that would have ripple effects on all kinds of things.
But it untethers us from humanity. I don't know why I'm like the humanist here, but
I think that's kind of... Like,
no, I want to just say for the record, if I had a choice just now when I had this baby to put it in a bag... I just want to say that I would have still used my own bag.
Yeah, my wife would have too. Even knowing it was going to be C-section, she would have preferred. Yeah. But that also may be just like the way we think of birth. 100 years from now, we could be having, you know, this same podcast could be recurring. And so it'd be like, what do you mean you had the baby? You kept the baby inside you the whole time?
Oh, in like 100 years, we could be like, wait, you still have bodies? We're brains in a jar now. We don't need that shit. Life is so much easier without the hassle of having to shit and piss and
but
pop
I do think
babies.
I think you're right, Benari. If you do take the difficulty out of having, like, making human life, the fact that the idea that you could just take two donors and make 100 babies does have, like, some consequences.
Okay, so and also, like, the responsibility of
the problem is
watching the bag.
Who's watching the bag?
And the problem is also the tech will become amazing, right?
Don't leave the dog alone at home with the bag. You know
come
what I mean?
Back and, like, the boy does the baby.
Dog will get into trash all the time.
We got to go back and get a new bag with the baby. It's like, hey, this is the third one in 2 months. You guys got to be very careful with your baby.
Yeah, we're going to have to have a red flag list for baby bags.
Okay, I do want to bring up an interesting point, though, which is that for evangelicals, this means we don't do abortions also. Mm. Because if you opt for either an abortion or a baby in a bag, people... you know, would choose probably baby in a bag.
Why do you think? But why do you think that's true?
I'm just saying, in a world where you have you don't want the baby.
Gotcha. You're hypothesizing that this choice is easy to like that.
That the choice of putting baby in a bag is easier to make, and then
because you're getting the abortion because of some health risk or something other than like don't want to have a kid.
And then, can I just say, interestingly, I was reading there's these two bioethics professors at West Point and Baylor that argued that while a woman has a right to remove a fetus from her body, she doesn't have the right to kill it. So,
and that I feel like this kind of thing needs to be said in this. That's a woman saying that, right?
This is two bioethicists.
Okay.
I actually don't remember if they were men or women. The problem is that for now, the latter is inherent in the former. So, where does that argument leave abortion? Okay, so that's exactly. So, if there's 600,000 abortions in the United States a year. So if which is a legal procedure and super into it and would love to uphold it. But there are 600,000. There's about I can't remember the numbers, but there's only like, let's say, 130,000 adoptions. Mm-hmm. So the rate of abortions far outpaces the rate of adoptions. But that's also like we're maybe at capacity with adoptions, you know what I mean? So that raises other questions of like, okay, if we're going to do all of these babies in a bag, for them, basically?
Like, who's selling? Well, this is, again,
it's horrible.
A black market baby in a bag,
all of
marketplace.
That.
Like, I mean, Like, I don't want a black market baby in a bag. Like,
You go.
In terms of like white supremacy.
Yes.
The idea that like, oh, this is our way of like making more white people.
Yeah.
That's really.
Or of any kind of people.
Or any.
Whatever. Yeah. That's one horrible road to go down.
This is the eugenics argument.
Is so, yeah.
There's something irritating to me about even engaging. They're like, oh, let's make sure that the evangelicals are okay with it. I know that's like a practical conversation,
sure.
But just like philosophically for me, it's like when you get an abortion, like, oh God, I can't even say this on a thing. I don't even want to hear me say it. But just like, what's so great about life? Like, is it like the best? Is life just truly the best? Especially for evangelical. It's like the next place is that's the place to be.
Yeah.
Earth isn't like the place to be. Get yourself dead as fast as you can and get to the heaven.
Also, the idea that evangelicals would be on board with this, where like you're presupposing that the discomfort and punishment part of it for the woman isn't part of their whole you can't have an abortion thing.
Yeah.
Like,
Of like they're not just like pro-life. They're not just like anti-abortion because it's like we have to save the baby. You also have to punish the woman. She has to carry the baby 9 months. Like, they're definitely not in favor of unnatural ways to like avoid a woman having to like carry a baby for 9 months.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure how much I agree with you in part, but I do think there is like just a belief very strongly in those communities of like women do X, men do Y, period, point blank.
They're against stem cell research. I mean, that was like a big thing back in like the late 90s and the early turn of this century was like, we had to do stem cell research outside of the country because they didn't even want these cells being examined. But
I do agree with what you're saying to the extent that I think for the Republican Party, abortion is not an issue they're eager to have resolved. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, no, that's because true.
American were suddenly like, actually, we're all anti-abortion, the Republican Party would be like, well, shit, then how do we, if everybody's on the same page as that, the rest of our policies are crap.
Yeah.
No, also, that's like, if you're growing the baby in a bag, there's also things like, again, are we just hanging this? Like, is it this in the living room? What if a fly gets in there? Now you got a fly baby, and you don't know till the baby's out. What do you do?
They have to have a special.
I would imagine it would be in like a laboratory someplace, at least at first. But at some point, you would have an app where you could order.
Sure.
Immediately imagined it in my apartment.
Just
inside my apartment, and I would water it with a little water bottle.
Amniotic fluid.
And, And then I would like stand near it and be like, this is my smell, just so you know, I'm your mom. See you later. I got to go to my Pilates class.
If you come out as a monster, please don't destroy me.
Okay, you guys, well, let me know what you think of baby in a bag, and we'll monitor this technology as it becomes a reality. Probably not for for human use. It's already kind of like being done for sheep, and they're growing just fine. They're coming out like just normsies.
But as a dude, I will also say I defer to whatever women decide on this issue.
Nice.
And as it is right now, you have to wait, right? You can't just like, the baby doesn't start in the bag.
The baby still starts in the lady.
Yeah, well, it starts in the sheep right now, right? We're not doing it in the
lady.
Right
yeah,
now,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't
have
the lady
in the
bag
sheep,
yet.
In the sheep.
But it starts in the sheep, and then after a certain period of time,
they remove it from So there's still like a procedure involved, but it's not.
Because if this became something you could do entirely outside of a human, this would also be a thing.
I'm sure eventually you can, because you can already do IVF entirely You know, you can start it outside of a human.
Right.
So if you're just mixing the DNA, just do it in the bag.
Do it. Exactly. Do it in a bag. No, yeah. I agree.
And this will be a thing. Like, there's sort of no holding this back. This will be a thing like online dating, where at first people are like, yeah, it's kind of weird that we met on Tinder, but then everyone met on Tinder.
Right.
So, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, the first 100 million people to have bag babies will be weird about it, but then everyone will be like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Of course we had a bag baby.
Right. They'll be like I was the bag baby on Time Magazine.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
Yeah, well, we're all bag babies now. You're not special.
Yeah. Fucking put on your clothes and go to school.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. let us know what you think of all of the future bag babies that we're all going to hang
this
out
is gonna
with.
They're going to replay this episode as an example of like how horrible people were back in the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is like...
This is going to be played at the next like white supremacist rally of like, this is what liberals think. This is the future liberals want.
By the way, I just want to say that we didn't like actually point to any... I still think just people should have babies. That's all I think. That's all I think. I'd like a situation where a man could also have a baby. That's also a dream of mine.
Me too, just as long as it's some other man.
I am not I'm not endorsing bag babies. This is merely a thought experiment.
Merely.
Please don't take any, I don't know, just I don't want any hate mail. All
no
right.
Umbrage.
Here we go. Let us move on to topic number three.
Oh, there's that bell.
Okay, so AT&T's Warner Media division, Comcast, NBC, Universal, and Walt Disney are joining Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and CBS All Access. And oh my God, there are so many streaming services. You could easily pay for all of them and end up with a cable bill, motherfuckers. So let's just talk about the streaming wars. Like, what are they? Why? What do you think?
I mean, to me, what you've said is exactly the thing I'm worried about. It's like, I'm not worried about. I just, I maybe this is a bad thing to say in a podcast where this is the topic, but I'm like, I don't give a shit about this. I literally do not care. Oh, wow. Netflix, Hulu has one. Whatever the fuck. I'm going to have all of them. My TV has a million channels right now. And you know, and the sooner I lose fucking whatever, what the hip hop channel or the fucking bean counting channel, the better. And I'll just replace it with the hip hop app and the bean counting app. Right. And we'll put them all together. I can watch my beans and hip hop on my computer.
And then complain about that in 10 years. About,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Why do I need both a bean counter and a hip hop channel? Why don't
the
they make the channel
like,
out of both?
Yeah, then there'll be a hologram. Or you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I'm just like bean counting.
It's a very lucrative
like,
market.
It's also strangely anti-Semitic.
Is that a trope of anti-Semitism?
Just
bean
like
counting?
Money counting.
Well, it was
well,
beans,
you made it
for God's sake.
Oh, I did. I know. I immediately.
That's on you.
But I.
Be like. The hip-hop and beat counters, that's racist and anti-Semitic. Why don't you want those channels?
I know. That's where my mind went. Because I care about people, Michael.
Yeah, well,
because I care about
turned
people.
Out you were the racist all along.
You're literally just like, look, you're like, oh, there's a bunch of garbanzo beans on a table, and that's the programming?
Yeah, that's the channel. The channel I was envisioning is probably a nice young man all day, just being like, and that's nine.
Nice young man.
10 beans.
You know in Jack and the Beanstalk, the part of the story where he goes to buy the magic beans?
Yeah.
It's that, but an entire channel, 24 hours.
24/7.
7 days a week.
Now, we've already launched a channel in this podcast, but my question is, do you also not give a shit about the topic we're currently talking about, Benari?
I do. Let me play devil's advocate here and say I do give a shit.
Brave.
I'm no hero, but... we're just recreating cable with the streaming.
We're just recreating cable. Why are we doing this?
Because there's money to be made. There's like that. I mean, that really just comes down to, Netflix changed the model in terms of they flooded the market with like streamable content. And people decided like, oh, I have access to a whole bunch of different shit that I don't know. I can just like put it on in the background or like I can stream these shows or, oh, these are the reruns I want to watch at my leisure. And then Hulu was sort of a different model, which was like you want to watch your network TV, but you're not home like Thursday night at 8. Well, now you can watch it anytime you want with this, you know, minor subscription.
Right.
And like that's how people like to
watch
now.
By the way, I feel like I've been doing that for like a decade with DVR.
Yes, and but like Hulu is just like, yes, but you can do it with our service.
Right.
And so,
and I totally, it's interesting. I totally get it. I think what part of me is, so we already have a cable with 1,000 channels, and we already have Netflix and Hulu and CBS All Access and Amazon Prime and the Sundance Channel has a thing and whatever. The other aspect of this is that we're quadrupling the amount of content that is available to just human beings.
Yes, we're oversaturating the market with just content.
Stuff.
By the way, we don't – I mean, the idea that we're all content creators now is kind of disturbing. Because it used to be like, oh, I'm creating a show, or like I'm developing the show. And now it's like, I'm a content creator. And it's like, but for who?
Yeah, my life is for the cloud.
Yeah. And so we're just, everything is a way for these companies to just take whatever you're doing and make money off of it. You know, just put anything on, just have shows or just have streams.
That really is like a fucked up way of thinking about it. Like, yeah, literally, while you're on Instagram, you're an intern is what
right.
you are. You know what
you're
I mean?
Doing
like,
their
I'm working at Instagram now. I'm working at Facebook. I'm working at Twitter. This
yeah.
is my, I go to work to make them money.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, I have all my pictures on my iPad, right? And then Apple TV comes along and it's like, hey, make a show out of your whole pictures. What if we just made a whole shot of it? And like, yes, I would love to watch that. Like, great. Pay us $9 a month. Great. Yeah. I'll pay $9 a month to watch my pictures on your product. Fantastic. Yeah. And like, that's, I think that's how it's like rewired us, is we have become like Uber consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything has, you know, again, we want to cut, you know, people were cord cutting. I think we're seeing that transition of like, as soon as, you know, as soon as like the old people die off, there's no more need for cable. Like they don't need, the only people watching CBS
cable.
On cable. Yeah. But,
I love turning on a television
yeah.
and there's a thing on and I don't have to choose it.
Mm-hmm. But they'll do that for you.
What I love.
They'll do that for you with a shuffle at some point. We'll have all these apps and you just shuffle your apps. And
can I say something too about the streaming? Okay. Is that.
Here we go.
No, I think I literally just forgot my point.
Sorry, I can't stop talking. So.
And they say cable. And they say cable viewers are stereotypical.
Oh, this is what I was going to say.
Here she goes.
I feel, you know how we talk about peak TV or whatever? Mm-hmm. I feel like peak TV was like 3 or 4 years ago when like Breaking Bad.
Game of Thrones in the middle. We're in the middle of Game of Thrones.
In the middle of Game of Thrones, Mad Men. Mm-hmm. Like those shows were peak TV.
Yes.
And then since then, and here's what made them peak TV. It's not that they were just phenomenal, which they were.
Mm-hmm.
It's that everybody watched them. We had
yes.
some kind of a national culture around watching something together, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem with streaming is that we no longer do that. So yeah. everything feels like a niche product.
Except for like reality TV and sporting events.
Exactly.
You don't tune in for things. And
you don't tune in for things. And so then like people, I can talk about Killing Eve all day long, but it's not a mainstream consumed show. And so it doesn't have that, you don't have that same.
But in 5 years, mm-hmm. like whatever comes after, you know, Gen Z will be like, have you seen this amazing show from long ago called Killing Eve? And like, you know, it'll be a big
yeah.
deal because it just,
but
it just sits there. It exists.
I think part of peak TV is that it's not just that it's fantastic product and made with cinematic intent. It's that people are there to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And what streaming is doing is really like bifurcating the population that would watch these things. So now, you know, and like, how can we make money off of 20,000 people watching this one weird show about bean counting versus like, why don't we make something that's a little bit, you know, that 300,000 people can watch? Like, that's not necessarily the model anymore. I don't know. And that's one problem. The other problem is we're creating an oligopoly which we already had an oligopoly.
Fancy.
But thank you.
We had bifurcated like not 20 seconds ago, too.
You guys, I have 2 master's degrees. It doesn't matter. But like we've created an oligopoly, which we've had an oligopoly for content, but it's now just cementing. So Disney will own like 40% of everything.
Yeah. And I mean, they already own like 72% of my childhood, so
yeah.
it just makes sense that they should own 40% of my adulthood.
Yeah, but I think that is a real danger.
A danger to me, yeah.
And the tricky part of it, too, is that the bodies that should be in charge of governing that kind of, you know, what could eventually become a monopoly, the people in there don't know what the fuck any of this shit is. You know what I mean? Like, do you think John Cornyn is going to be able to be like, oh, okay, well, John Cornyn can't sign into his own Facebook account. You know right. what I mean? Like, that's the gap between, in terms of tech savvy, between the people who are right. regulating this stuff right. and the people who are creating yeah. it is massive. Like, what Mark Zuckerberg knows about the internet wouldn't fit in all of those brains put together. You know what I mean? They just have no idea.
Well, yeah. the way kids watch TV now is on YouTube or just, you know, or whatever app will come next. But like, YouTube is like the most, you know, basically
That's
successful streaming
right.
product around still, because people just know to go there. And so other places, so like CBS, if they want a clip scene, they'll have a YouTube channel. So they'll put their clips up on YouTube so that people can find them, because that's how people are consuming this content now. They're
yeah.
not watching
can
shows,
I
they're
ask,
watching
though,
clips.
I have a question about that and a little pushback about that, which is that the premise behind all these streaming networks is not to make short form content. It's to make half hour, hour long shows. Like, that's what they're going to be making, right?
They're trying to drive people back to the mothership, basically. Like, they've lost, like, Disney has lost control over where people are watching stuff. CBS, NBC, all the companies have lost control over where people are seeing their content, because they have to put their content everywhere for people to see them. So now the companies have gotten together and it's like, we'll do the CBS Plus app and you can only watch it here. And we'll do this ESPN Plus app and you can only watch this content here on this app. And that's how they're going to kind of, you know, force people back to them to like tune into their particular, call it an app, call
right,
it a channel, whatever you want.
What I'm saying is, what's interesting is everyone keeps saying Generation Z only watches short form clips on YouTube, but all of these streaming networks are predicated on longer form shows. So how do those, what does that mean? Does that mean, like, I think this idea that people only want to watch 5-minute things has like been proven ridiculous
over
and
over. I think there's two separate kinds of watching, right?
Right, right.
There's like the kind of watching that I do all day long on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I watch, like, I just scroll through a bunch of crap, and if there's a video, I check it out for a minute. That's more of the short form YouTube
right.
stuff. But then it's, I get home, I'm with my family, let's all sit down and watch something, and that's not in my phone. That's probably Netflix or
right.
Amazon Prime or Hulu.
And what they
or
want
whatever.
Is when you go home, you put on their app
right.
now, as
exactly.
opposed to like try and find the show on some other service, like, you know, so like Hulu's going to have more, you know, they'll have more original content. Netflix will have their original content. Disney will have their original content. And so instead of it just being out there on the internet for people to see, they want you to go to like their specific thing. And
you
that's,
know,
and that's recreating
then,
cable.
Right, recreating cable. And then there's going to be short, there's something like, called Quibi, which is like
mm-hmm.
short
oh, it's like 10
form.
Minute, yeah, it's like 10 minute bite
yeah,
size.
That's like, you
shows.
Know, trying a lot. So the, I think what's interesting, I mean, I think what's interesting to business people is who's going to win and who's going to lose, right? And people are like, oh, it's clearly Netflix because they have more, whatever. Apparently, there's a lot of churn in these subscription model things, like people cancel very easily.
Right.
And so they lose a lot, they gain a lot, lose, gain, whatever. Whereas it, with cable, like that's less the case because it's sort of more
right.
of a like, this is a thing. I just
do it. I
gotta
come and set it up. I have to go get the
yeah,
box.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like
there
a hassle to cancel.
It's a hassle to
right.
cancel. So people just kind of stick with it much longer.
Well, bundling, I think what's going to happen is they're going to start getting bundled. So like HBO, look, HBO's model, and that article I think talked about this a little bit, is like HBO, you know, first was like, oh, you get these, you can see all the movies and you get this. And they had original programming and they made the original programming spectacular. So people were like, I want to watch these premium
yeah.
shows.
It's like prestige programming.
Yeah, it's prestige programming.
Yeah,
so
they
like,
invented it. Yeah.
They had to get, so you had to get HBO. I think Disney is probably trying to recreate that model more than the Netflix model, which is just a lot of stuff.
A lot of
the
stuff.
The Netflix model seems to me like the way that, at least as I understand it, Starbucks worked, which is just like, we're going to have everything.
Yes.
So anytime you think for a second, I'm going to watch something,
right.
the first thing you think is Netflix. Like Starbucks, there's a Starbucks 100% of the places.
Right.
We're in a Starbucks right now. You go home, you sleep inside a Starbucks. So,
right?
Your kid's bed, it's a Starbucks.
Right.
So whenever you want coffee, you're like, oh, there's one of these right here.
Oh, I can get coffee at a Starbucks.
Right.
How weird.
Exactly. So for Netflix, like, what do you want to watch? Literally anything? We have that.
Okay, well, I'm curious. So my last question is, do you think there's room for more than one Netflix? Like, is there like a Gregory's Coffee?
I mean, yeah, there is, that's already kind of happening, right? Like Netflix is the Yankees of this right now, but there's going to be Red Sox.
There's going to be,
you know, yeah. I mean, Hulu and Prime Video, like those, they have good programming. I think what it takes, I have no, I'm talking completely out of my ass.
Yes.
More than I normally do. But I think what it takes is just that one show, right? That's like, ooh, that create a cultural moment.
Right.
You got to see this. Everybody has,
everybody,
like the way that
right.
like Serial was for podcasts. Because right. I feel like podcast was kind of off to the side thing. Serial comes along and everyone's like, ooh, what are podcasts?
Podcasts.
We all have to listen to this. And I think something like that
immediately
will happen.
Immediately subscribe to Fake the Nation. That's what everybody did. 100%
of people.
Serial.
It was like Serial, Fake the Nation.
Fake the Nation is the Starbucks of podcasts.
But I think also there's going to be different models. I think, you know, you can't use a buzzword like streaming and say that that covers everything. So it'll be like the Netflix model, the HBO model, the Hulu model, the Amazon
right,
model.
Right.
And they'll find what's the most successful for their particular product. So I think that that's what's going to be, again, the future is just going to be like the smaller companies that try and start these subscriptions and get canceled very fast, they'll team up with like several other apps. And so you'll bundle all your sports packages in one sort of like mega ESPN app. And then anything that anyone who can't compete with Disney on a lesser scale.
I was like, CBS, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Why aren't you bundled with a
maybe you'll get the CBS, ABC, NBC app.
Right.
And so it'll
exactly.
be like the network app.
Right.
And that will be more successful.
And
for
then
them. We'll
you'll
see.
Just get cable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you guys, I guess we'll just keep track of how these things are going to go down. Did you cancel your cable, people? I don't know. They're a
just
money
use
monster.
Your just use your parents'
but
password and watch it online.
I like to flip through channels. Like to flip through channels. And call me old, you know? Call it.
You're old.
Thank you. All right, you guys, that is the end of the show. We always ask at the ends of shows, how do you feel?
I feel the same.
Get the fuck out of my studio.
feel a little weird about the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Feel uncertain.
Yeah, I always feel like generally ill at ease, and I still am.
But that's the same, right? Same for you. But now I'm feeling it too.
Oh, good. I'm happy to spread that around.
No, I would like for the people of Fake Nation to follow both of your ill at ease selves. Benari, how do they do that?
At Benari Lee, BenariLee, on both Twitter and Instagram. And you can catch me in Bakersfield on August 17th.
Oh, Bakersfield on August 17th. You guys, California.
Wow. Yeah. You can follow me at Cruz Kane, CRUZKAYNE, on Twitter and Instagram. You can come see my show, The Exhibition, on August 24th. TheExhibition.show.
Ooh,
what a cool website.
I just snagged that one.
And if you work at the pizza place down the street from me, you can follow me on Grubhub.
And if you'd like to pay me, PayPal and Venmo is...
You guys, you know where to find me on all of the things. And I have a couple of shows in New York coming up that you could probably see on my website. And and it looks like there's just a bunch more shows and stuff lining up for the fall. So, you know, I'll tell you more about those things. Oh, and I have an op-ed that just came out in the Progressive magazine. You know, my column, Hemming and Hawing. So I hope that you check that out. It is about our never-ending conflict with Iran. I know.
Light
so
summer
predictable.
Reading.
Light summer reading. So predictable for like an Iranian to talk about Iran. Okay, but anyways, I did it. And it's both fun and harrowing at the same time. You guys, but what I really want to do is I want to thank the production team here at Fake the Nation. That's our producer, Harry Nelson. Our talented audio engineers, Andy Christens and Jared O'Connell. Gabby Alter wrote our theme music and Lily Fleshler helps with research. So, did you guys know that if you leave us feedback on Apple Podcasts, it helps people find the show? It really does. That's a thing. It's like an algorithm. I just like use the word algorithm and then hope that solved everything that I was saying. Also, we'd love to hear from you directly. You can send us your feedback ideas that you have for the show, guests we should be having, topics we should be talking about, you can leave us a voicemail at 347-770-4981. Again, that's 347-770-4981. Or you can drop us a line at comments@fakethenation.com. That's the end of the show, you guys. Thank you, and we'll be back in your earballs next week.
Yay!
Golly, I had a lot of fun.
Just take a photo.